KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, we thank you for tuning in to Crosstalk as we deal with a number of issues, some of which are impacting us by way of government and legislation and what's going on in this world today. But we also examine that which is hitting us spiritually as well, and the spiritual deception that is so prevalent in our world today. The Bible tells us to search the Scriptures. In Acts 17:11, we actually learn of the Bereans who were, they were commended for checking out the Scriptures, searching the Scriptures to see if the things that they were taught were true according to the Scriptures. The Scripture needs to be our standard, the ruler by which we measure the things that we are taught. The Bible must be our sole authority for life and practice. Today we're going to examine what is happening in a religion which boasts followers in excess of 1.2 billion around the world. We're speaking of Roman Catholicism. So often Roman Catholics will say that Peter was our first pope, but to their own peril they do not believe what Peter taught as documented in the Scriptures. So today we're going to examine what Peter did teach and how this is contrasted by the Roman Catholic Church historically and in practice even today. And by doing so, each one will have to examine what is your authority. Is it the Scriptures or is it the Catholic Church? Is it faith in Christ alone or is it tradition? Joining us today, we welcome Mike Gendron. Mike is a founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. Mike was a devout Roman Catholic for over three decades. He was taught to rely upon the authority of the church above all else. However, he searched the Scriptures and was amazed to find that what he read in the Scriptures contradicted the teachings and traditions of the church that had been a part of his life for so long. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and now the Bible is his sole authority in all matters of faith. He's the author of the books Preparing for Eternity and also the newly released Contending for the Gospel. Mike, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always good to be on your program, especially because you address such eternally impacting messages such as the one today. We all need to figure out in this lifetime who is our authority and where we need to place our trust. And so I really do hope that this program today will encourage your listeners to reach out to their Catholic loved ones and family members and point them to Christ as Peter preached and his inspired word was, as he wrote two epistles and actually he taught through the book of Acts as well.
Well, Mike, I'd like to really set this as a foundation for our interview today because you are a former Roman Catholic over three decades. Tell us, what is your motivation for your ministry, the basis for what you do? I mean, I've heard people call you a Catholic hater, a Catholic basher. Are you? What's your motivation?
No, I love Roman Catholics. In fact, if I did not love Roman Catholics, I would just ignore them and allow them to march proudly towards hell's gates. But I want to intervene. I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. When I was born again and I recognized that I was in a church that was deceiving people about life's most critical issue, I wanted to begin a ministry so that we could reach back into the Catholic Church and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because as a Roman Catholic, I was never taught the substitutionary atonement of Christ. I knew that Jesus died for the sins of the world. That's history. But I never knew that Jesus died for me. He died as my substitute and took all of my sins and gave me his righteousness. And Catholics don't know that. In fact, even in today's discussion on which pope should we trust, I knew Peter was the first pope as a Roman Catholic, but I never knew what he taught. So hopefully today we can look at some of the things that Peter taught and encourage our listeners to reach out to Catholics.
Okay, so let's begin there. I mean, it's important for us to understand who Peter was. So, Mike, what was his background? I mean, Roman Catholics believe he was their first pope and that he was the supreme head of the church. Who was he? Who was Peter?
Well, he was a fisherman, and when he gave up his career as a fisherman, he became a fisher of men. And that's when he started following the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at the two epistles that the Peter wrote, and we recognize that a lot of what he said goes diametrically opposed to what Pope Francis teaches, and it goes opposed to what the Catholic Church has taught historically throughout the last 1,600 years. And so Peter was a fallible man. He was a fellow elder of the church. He never claimed to be the head of the church. He knew that Jesus was the only head of the church. In fact, he knew that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood, and he was the only one that had the right to be the head of the church.
Did I hear you correctly in which you said he was fallible?
Peter was fallible in his teaching, but his inspired words were infallible when he penned them in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and his sermon in the book of Acts were all infallible. But we know from Scripture that Peter was a fallible man. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul who confronted Peter to his face in Galatians chapter 2, because he wasn't acting in line with the truth of the gospel. And so Paul had to rebuke him. And Peter did not submit to Paul, but he submitted to the authority of Scripture. And that's what every Catholic needs to do as well. Submit to the authority of Scripture, not to a fallible man.
And even Jesus himself had to rebuke Peter.
That's right, in Matthew 16, where many Catholics believe that Jesus was calling Peter the rock upon which he would build his church. Right after that discussion in Matthew 16, Jesus said, "I must first go to Jerusalem to die for my church." And Peter stood in the way. He said, "Lord, may it never be." And then Jesus had to rebuke him by saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You have in mind the things of men rather than the things of God." So clearly, Peter was a fallible man. And to be called the mouthpiece of Satan by the Lord himself is really an indication that we can never trust men unless their words line up with Scripture.
So do Roman Catholics believe their Pope is infallible?
Yes, they do. In fact, historically, the Roman Catholic Church has believed that their popes have all been infallible when they teach from the chair of Peter. But of course, that's where the confusion comes in, because when you ask them, for example, many of the bizarre statements that Pope Francis has made that even go against historic Roman Catholicism, they will simply say, well, he wasn't speaking from the chair of Peter or ex cathedra. And so they have a loophole there. And if you ask a Catholic, show me where the infallible teachings of popes are listed, they can't come up with it. But yet it is a convenient option for them to declare their pope infallible when it comes to faith and morals.
So, Peter, as in contrast to the Pope, we see so often in the Roman Catholic Church today the teaching that one needs to confess sins to priest. Is that something Peter taught, or what was Peter's thoughts on that?
No, in fact, we have a classic confrontation in the book of Acts when Peter confronted Simon the sorcerer, who was trying to purchase the grace of God with his money, and Peter rebuked him and said, "You need to confess your sin to God, and perhaps God will forgive you." And so here was a classic example for Catholics to look at. Rather than Peter saying to Simon the sorcerer, "You need to come into the confessional booth and confess your sins to me, and perhaps I will give you indulgences and forgive your sins," he told him to go directly to God.
Wow. What is instructed for Catholics today on this issue? Can they go directly to God?
Well, in the Catechism, it says when they commit a mortal sin, they can go directly to God, but on your venial sins, which are lesser sins, they have to confess those sins to a priest. And Jim, we know that all sins are mortal. The soul that sins will surely die, we see in Ezekiel 18:4 and in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. There are no venial sins. All sins are consequential to death. And so the Bible speaks of three types of death. You've got the physical death that is a consequence of sin, but you also have spiritual death, and then eternal death in the eternal lake of fire. And so all sins are, the penalty for sin is death, and there are no such things as venial sins. But this is a safety net for Catholics, because if you ask Catholics what's the difference between a mortal and a venial sin, they will say, well, it's really up to us to decide how serious our sin is, and we're all good rationalizers. We could always reach the point where we call all of our sins venial. But they do say that sins such as murder or committing adultery or missing church on Sunday would be mortal, and the rest of the sins are pretty much up to the conscience of the individual. Mm.
Mike Gendron with us today from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministries. Mike, we have seen Pope Francis pray to Mary. Should we be praying to Mary? Should we be praying to the saints?
Well, not at all. In fact, we know that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. He's the only one qualified. Mary's not qualified. Jesus was God's perfect man and man's perfect God, and he's the only one qualified to come between sinful man and a holy God. And so we can go directly to the Father through Jesus Christ, the one mediator. And we encourage anyone who doubts this to look into the Bible. You know, we want people to read the Word. And I challenge people, find one place in the Bible where a God-fearing person prays to anyone other than God. There are no prayers to Mary. There are no prayers to saints, only to God through Jesus Christ.
Does that include Peter? Did Peter ever pray to anybody but God?
No. The only person Peter ever prayed to was God himself.
What about salvation? Can we be saved apart from Jesus Christ?
Well, not at all. Pope Francis believes that you can. In fact, he dares to say that atheists can make it to heaven as long as they follow their conscience. But Peter made it very clear that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. In fact, Peter even said that the Word of God, which is the imperishable seed, is what brings forth life to those who are dead in their sin. Pope Francis, on the other hand, says that you're born again through water baptism. It was Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, that directly opposes Pope Francis by saying, you have been born again not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God.
So you're saying that Peter taught in Scripture that we cannot be born again through water baptism. That contrasts what the Church teaches.
Well, it definitely does. In fact, water baptism in the New Testament is only for believers, only for those who have been born again of the Holy Spirit. And we see a classic example of that in the book of Acts. And the question was addressed to Peter, can these men be water baptized? They've already received the Holy Spirit. And so, which comes first? They received the Holy Spirit, and then, after that, they were water baptized as a profession of faith that they are now wanting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience.
Mike Gendron is our guest here today on Crosstalk, our topic, Peter versus the Pope, and what we find in the scripture writings that is Peter authored through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they contrast the teachings that are coming from the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to examine some more of those contrasts, as well as tell you about a speaking tour that Mike is going to be on here next week, as well as some resources that will be available through their ministry on this important topic as well. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is there any evidence that man and dinosaurs lived together?
Yes, indeed there is, Chris. The Bible even describes dinosaur-like beasts in the book of Job, and Job lived after the flood. Also, we see numerous places where native peoples drew pictures of dinosaur-like beasts. Almost every nation around the world has legends of dragons, huge reptilian beasts that sound very much like our modern-day reconstructions of dinosaurs. Recently, some very interesting burial stones have been excavated from tombs in South America, which clearly show dinosaurs and humans together. These stones date from long before dinosaurs were reconstructed from their fossils. As far as we know, no dinosaurs are alive today, but we have good evidence that dinosaur-like beasts existed along with humans in the not-too-distant past. It all started back in Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, today it's certainly an examination of the importance of searching the Scriptures, examining the Scriptures. Are the things that are being taught through the religions and philosophies of the world today, are they true according to the Scriptures? As we mentioned at the outset, the Bible does need to be our authority for life and practice. It needs to be the ruler by which we measure, as the Bereans themselves were commended in Acts 17:11. Mike Gendron is with us today from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry, and I would just like to make mention that this coming week, Mike is going to be involved in speaking at multiple VCY rallies on the road, and if you're in one of these areas, would encourage you to come to the meeting and hear what Mike has to say. Singspiration time will also be held. The meetings are free. They're open to the public. They begin Monday, July 22nd. All of these are at 7 p.m. It's going to be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota at the Grace Baptist Church. Tuesday, the 23rd at the Stuartsville Sportsman Club. That's just outside of Rochester, Minnesota. So that'd be Tuesday, the 23rd. Wednesday, the 24th, Hermantown, Minnesota, just outside of Duluth at the Faith Baptist Church. Then on Thursday, the 25th, it will be in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Crystal Falls, Michigan, Lakeview Bible Church. Then it's to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin on Friday the 26th at 7 p.m., Trinity Baptist Church. And then on Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Indian Hill Bible Church in Ingleside, Illinois, just across the Wisconsin-Illinois border. And then he'll also be preaching there on Sunday. But you can get the locations and times and so forth at the website vcyrally.org, vcyrally.org. But Mike, you're going to be speaking on the topic, The Coming One World Religion, a very fascinating presentation.
Well, it really is, and this Catholic Pope, Pope Francis, has really pushed the ecumenical agenda forward at a very rapid pace. He's suppressing doctrinal truth. He wants all those who profess the name of Christ to come together under his power and control to bring in the global church. And so that will be the topic of my messages and should be very interesting, especially in light of the current pope.
And folks, again, check out the locations, vcyrally.org, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Stuartsville, Minnesota, just outside of Rochester, Hermantown, Minnesota, outside Duluth, Crystal Falls, Michigan, that's in the UP, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and Ingleside, Illinois. Mike, we're looking today at Peter versus the Pope, because what we are finding is what Peter wrote in Scripture is standing in sharp contrast to the teachings of the Pope today and the historic teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. Let's hit the issue of assurance of eternal life. Is there a contrast between what Peter said and what the Pope says?
Well, sure. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we see some amazing verses that Peter penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He wrote, God has caused believers to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. This eternal life is reserved in heaven and protected by the power of God through faith. That is the assurance we have once we are born again. Our assurance is based on the promises of God and the power of God. But yet Roman Catholics have historically believed in only conditional life. In fact, they go so far as to say, if you believe the promises of God, the promise of the gospel of eternal life, you are committing the sin of presumption. So Catholics are sinning if they believe the promise of God. It's really a very bizarre oxymoron, if you will, to say that if you are trusting Christ alone, then you are committing a sin according to the Catholic Church.
Mike, is there anywhere in Scripture where Peter promoted the purchasing of indulgences for the remission of sins?
Well, no, not at all. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, he makes a very valid point. He said, God redeems us not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so your money cannot purchase any indulgences to get anyone out of purgatory or hell. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, in 1 John 1:7, we see that the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all sin. That is what we are redeemed with, the precious blood of Jesus.
So you're saying that if a loved one dies, who dies in the Catholic faith, apart from Jesus Christ, there is nothing that any survivor can do as far as prayers or giving of funds of any amount that would change that eternal destiny of that individual who passed away?
Well, absolutely not. In fact, Psalm 49, 7, 8, and 9 actually answers that very well. And there are no such things as indulgences. No one can buy the grace of God. And yet St. Peter's was built on the purchase of indulgence, the selling of indulgences, the selling of God's grace. We need to warn Roman Catholics that they need to trust Jesus Christ before they die, because at death, if they have not trusted Christ alone, they go directly to hell. There's no middle place called purgatory. That is often called the safety net for Roman Catholics. They don't believe they're good enough for heaven or bad enough for hell. So if they can spend some time in purgatory, that'll eventually make them ready for heaven. But that is the lie of the devil. And, Jim, we really have to make the point that the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, that Satan is using his servants, who are false apostles and deceitful workers disguised as apostles of Christ, to deceive, mislead, destroy, and kill people. They need to awaken. They need to come to their senses. We need to pray for those in opposition so that God would grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, so they can escape the snare of the devil that holds them captive to do his will. That is a Roman Catholic's only hope, is to repent, turn to Christ, trust him alone, and let go of all these other things they're trusting in, such as their good works and law-keeping and the sacraments and the sacrifice of the Mass and indulgences and purgatory. They have to repent of all of those useless things and trust Christ alone.
Now, you just said that the sacrifice of Mass is a useless thing, Mike. What did Peter have to say about that? Did Peter promote the Mass itself? Or did you say correctly what you really meant?
No, Peter never promoted the sacrifice of the Mass. He knew that there was one offering for sin for all time, and that was the offering of Jesus Christ. And there are no more offerings for sin. Of course, that is, we get that information out of Hebrews 9 and 10. And that's one of the reasons I left the Catholic Church, Jim, was I recognized that the Catholic Church was continuing on an altar what Jesus finished on the cross. When Jesus cried out in victory, "It is finished," there are no more offerings for sin, because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was perfect, it was sufficient, and it was finished. And so we can trust in him alone to redeem us, to forgive us, and to reconcile us to God.
What about the Catholic priesthood? Is this something that's necessary to offer sacrifices to God?
Well, the only sacrifices that we can offer to God at this point are sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. And that's pretty much what Peter said. He said that we are members of the royal priesthood. And as members of the royal priesthood, we offer sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to God. There's no such thing as a sacerdotal priesthood as the Roman Catholic priesthood exists. When Jesus gave up his spirit, the veil separating the Holy of Holies from sinful man was torn open from top to bottom, showing that now, through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have direct access to God. We can go boldly into the throne of grace. We no longer need a sacerdotal priesthood offering sacrifices for sin, because Jesus Christ, the perfect high priest, offered himself, the perfect sacrifice, to a perfect God who demands perfection, and then he cried out, "It is finished." The veil has been torn open. We have direct access to the Father.
And yet, when you go through the doors of a Catholic church, you'll find that Jesus is often portrayed as a dead man hanging on a cross.
Well, it is, and that's called the crucifix. And, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, Peter said the resurrected Christ has ascended into heaven, and he is at the right hand of God. In fact, the Pope Francis, now at the turn of the millennium, he pointed people to a wooden door in St. Peter's Basilica. He said if anybody walks through the wooden door in St. Peter's, they would receive a plenary indulgence for the remission of sins. But yet, instead of pointing people to Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture," Jesus went on to say, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Those are the words of our Savior out of John chapter 10. So no, Christ is the only door. We can't go through a wooden door and receive forgiveness of sins.
Mike, we're seeing many places all throughout here where what Peter said in Scripture does not mesh, and they consider Peter to be the first pope, does not mesh with between what Peter said and what the church teaches. And the church will also teach that Peter is the rock upon which Jesus would build the church.
Yeah, that's probably the most important verse in Roman Catholicism. Jesus has just asked the apostles the question, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter, the first to answer, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said, "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." Well, what did Peter just do? He just made a profession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus goes on to say, "This was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven," divine inspiration. And so anyone that makes the same profession of faith that Peter made, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and puts their trust in him, they are members of Christ's church. But I just wish Catholics would look to Peter's writings, because in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, Peter declared himself to be an elder who submitted to Jesus as the head of the church. He was a fellow elder. He never claimed to be the pope. He knew that Jesus was the rock. Paul also knew that Jesus was the rock. And so all the way through the Psalms, you see the rock was God. There's no misunderstanding as to who the rock is, but yet Roman Catholics want to cling to that misinterpretation of Matthew 16:18.
Well, Mike, I know many would agree that we're living in a time of very great deception. What did Peter say in Scripture that we should do in such times?
Well, he warned us of false teachers who would teach heresies and malign the truth of God, and we are living in that time. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul wrote that the devil is causing apostasy with many teachers who embrace deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And Jim, as you said, we're living in those last days where we see the great apostasy, and because people are turning from the Word of God and following deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, they are being misled. They're being led to the broad way that leads to destruction. Christ is the door. He is the narrow way. And only through Christ can anyone enter and find eternal life. And so it's my prayer that your listeners will recognize what a huge mission field the Roman Catholic Church is. Over 1.2 billion precious souls. They are lost or trapped in religious deception. And Jesus said, only the truth will set them free. And the only way to find the truth is to abide in his word. Then you will know the truth, according to John chapter 8.
Mike Gendron with us today. A quick break, and we'll be back with some more information. Have handy a sheet of paper. We'll be sharing with you how you can obtain a meaningful DVD that Mike has spoken on, very similar to our topic today. Back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Racism is a charge often leveled in today's society. But did you know that we are all one race? Of one blood? We are all part of the human race. It is imperative for children to understand what God's Word says on this subject, that they know the true history of life, so that we can build a truly Christian worldview and address the matter correctly. In the hardcover book, One Blood for Kids, author Ken Ham addresses this critical issue in a way that brings understanding to children. This book takes the reader on a spiritual journey presenting the real history of man, the connections between us, and how the variations of our skin tones reflect the creativity of our Creator. Fascinating facts and full-color illustrations are throughout the book. One Blood for Kids is available for a donation of $17 or two copies for a donation of $30 from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Gendron with us today. Peter versus the Pope. Indeed, what Peter wrote in Scripture under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God is very much contrasted by what's happening within the church today and the teachings of the Pope. And Mike is addressing those issues today. Mike, I know that you have, we just really scratched the surface on some of these topics here today, but you have a DVD that you've reduced, as far as its price is concerned, 20% off for our Crosstalk listeners, really dealing with the very issues we're talking about today.
Yeah, the title of the message is Rescuing Catholics from Pope Francis, and they are trapped in religious deception because they're following a pope that is a false prophet. And I only say that by the authority of God's word. It was Peter who said that we need to take care that you are not carried away by the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Catholics need to do. Instead of following their pope, they need to abide in God's word, and only the truth will set them free. And so in this message, Jim, I list all the different bizarre statements that this pope has made down through the years, including, he said, humanly speaking, Christ was a failure on the cross.
Oh, my.
And that is pure blasphemy. You know, Christ went to the cross on his own accord to die for the sins of the man, and to say that he was a failure, it just shows you how little the Pope knows about the Bible. And that's why Catholics need to be forewarned not to follow this man, but to follow Jesus Christ and the inspiration of Peter as the first pope, if the Catholics want to look to him.
Okay, now that's the second of actually two messages you have on the DVD.
Yes, it is. The first message is also a good message for your listeners to be equipped to reach Catholics. It's called The Controversial Bread of Life. And what I do in that message is take them through John chapter 6, where Catholics believe that Jesus is calling us to physically eat the body and blood, soul and divinity of himself. And of course, we see in John 6, he's speaking in a figurative language, but Roman Catholics think he was speaking literally there. And so I take you through that whole John 6 discourse, and it's really a good way to be equipped to reach out to Catholics.
So this is a DVD with two messages, The Controversial Bread of Life, the second message, Rescuing Catholics from Pope Francis. And normally $15, you've got it marked down to $12?
Yes, we're also going to include a free gospel tract called Are You Ever, or Have You Ever Been Deceived? And you know, the very nature of deception is that people do not know they're deceived until they're confronted with the truth, and that's what we do in this gospel tract. We show people how they can know the truth and not be deceived.
And indeed, if a listener would like to obtain the DVD with two messages and the complimentary copy of that tract, Have You Ever Been Deceived, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, the best way would be to go to our website, proclaimingthegospel.org. And if you don't have access to the internet, after the program today, you can call our office at 817-379-5300. So either the website, proclaimingthegospel.org, or our phone number after the program is over, 817-379-5300.
And folks, you can go to the website, proclaimingthegospel.org. You click on store, then click on video messages, and you'll see it right there at the bottom of the first page, those two DVD, or the two DVD messages, the Controversial Bread of Life, and also Rescuing Catholics from Pope Francis, available through his website, proclaimingthegospel.org. Click on store, then on video messages, and they will automatically put in one of those gospel tracts, Have You Ever Been Deceived? Well, friends, I'd like to open our phone lines right now on Crosstalk. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe something Mike has said has made you upset, and you'd like to challenge him on it. We would encourage your calls here today. Maybe you've got a question yourself as it relates to Roman Catholicism, something that that you have been taught, the contrast, what is taught in Scripture itself. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. We welcome your phone calls. Again, that's 800-733-9829. And Mike Gendron will take your questions here today. Also, just a reminder, next week, Monday through Sunday, Mike is speaking at various events. Monday in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Tuesday near Rochester, Minnesota. Wednesday, Hermantown, Duluth, Minnesota area. Thursday, July 25th, Crystal Falls, Michigan. Friday in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Saturday and Sunday at the Ingleside, Illinois, Indian Hill Bible Church. Taking your calls here today on Crosstalk, we're going to begin with Pastor Mark from Missouri. Hi, Pastor Mark. You're on the air with Mike Gendron.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Mike. I'm driving. I hope this comes through. But I want to agree with Mike in that the intercessor is not Mary. First of all, Mary was a sinner saved by grace through faith. The Magnificat, or Mary's song in Luke, tells us that Mary needed a Savior, and she called out for her Savior. The other thing is that for Mary to be able to hear the prayers of the saints, she would have to be God, and she's not God. She's not omnipresent or omniscient. There's no way she can correspond with 1.2 billion Roman Catholics that are praying to her. And then finally, and I think most importantly, is the fact that in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 5, and 6, Ecclesiastes 9, 5 through 6, and I would like for people to look that up, the dead know nothing that's going on earth. So Mary has no idea what's going on earth. Ecclesiastes 9, 5 through 6. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. A comment, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. I, of course, totally agree with what Mark has said, but the Catholic Church is really elevating Mary to deity, maybe not calling her God at this point, but they've given her a lot of the attributes of Almighty God, including omniscience, as Mark said, but that's not possible. She is a mere human being, and she looked to the Lord Jesus as her Savior.
Richard's calling from Moorhead, Kentucky. Richard, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Richard. I'm a believer. I've been a believer and been saved by the grace of God since like in the 70s. And I was really impressed with Brother Mike. It's truly indeed a pleasure to call him brother, because there's so much of the deceit that's got the world blinded. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds, lest the glorious gospel, light of the gospel, should shine. Mm-hmm. And get people get saved. But what I was wanting to share, if I could, is I wanted to share the book, New Age Bible Versions.
Okay, Richard, I want to keep it within Roman Catholicism. That's our topic today. Do you have a question on that issue?
Oh, the topic today, yeah. The topic is, no, I just wanted to brag on Brother Mike. I mean, keep going, brother,
okay.
Because...
great.
You're doing a great job, and there are people going to be saved out of that darkness.
Thank you, Richard. Dan is calling next, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Dan, you're on the air.
Thank you. There was a couple points I wanted to make. The one thing that I have had the opportunity to learn a lot from this radio program and many other sources about Catholicism.
Dan, you're very muffled here. Are you talking right in the mouthpiece of your phone?
Yeah, is this better?
Okay, go ahead.
I've done a lot of research on Catholicism,
mm-hmm.
and I urge the listeners to do the same. It doesn't take much to do some research and to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
The other point I want to make is to second Mike in the sense that you go to the Bible for the truth, and that's what we're talking about here is the truth of reality, the truth of life, and we believe that the Bible holds that, and Catholicism doesn't really teach that.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. And Mike, by people getting the DVD, Rescuing Catholics from Pope Francis, that will really open up their eyes to see the contrast between what Scripture teaches and what's coming from the Pope.
Well, it really will. And as Dan said, the Bible's promises are everlasting. Its doctrines are divine. Its precepts are binding. Its prophecies are sure. And the Bible is absolute truth for all people for all eternity. And so we have in our possession the most treasured article that we could ever hope for on this earth, because it keeps us on the right trail and it exposes all deception. We need to abide in God's Word to know the truth.
Let's go to Chris in Milwaukee. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike. I had a question. What difference is there between the real Jesus and the Jesus constructed entirely out of words from the Bible?
Well, Jesus is the personification of truth. In fact, I actually have an article on my website showing the similarities between the person of Jesus Christ and the word of Jesus Christ. And it's really an amazing study, so I encourage you to visit the website and go through that.
Thank you, Chris. Tom in Chicago, Illinois, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Hi. I'm a practicing Roman Catholic, and I just was asking Mike, from which authority is he speaking? Because if I opened up a phone book in Chicago, I would find about, 1,300 Protestant denominations, of which all would be saying pretty much what you're saying. So none of
that's really a good question, and I don't have any authority on my own.
One moment, Mike. Go ahead and finish your statement there, Tom.
Yeah, so if I was to say that, I would talk to my great-great-great, 500 years back grandfather, mm-hmm. None of those denominations in any of the phone book would exist. While I understand why Mike is quoting the Bible, where did the Bible become compiled upon an official document of collection of books? That was not through anything other than the Catholic Church itself. So
okay.
He speaks of authority, quoting scriptures that were compiled through hundreds and hundreds of years of Catholic.
Okay, Tom, thank you for that. We're going to have Mike respond. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, as I was saying, I have no authority on my own. I don't want anyone to believe what I say. I want them to believe the infallible, supreme authority of God's Word. We always need to ask the question, as Paul wrote in Galatians 4:30, but what does the Scripture say? I've coined an expression, the Bible is what God says, religion is what man says God says. We can go directly to the source of truth. We don't need religion to be a mediator between us and the truth of God's Word. The reason there are so many Protestant denominations would be very similar to the reason the Catholic Church is no longer the true church. They departed from the faith of the apostles. They started following traditions of men. And so they turned from the Word of God as their supreme authority, as many Protestant churches and denominations have done as well. There are apostate denominations in the Protestant world and apostate churches. So, again, the supreme authority is God's Word. If there are opposing interpretations, they both cannot be true. So when there's disagreement, we have to sit down with an open Bible and let the Bible speak for itself. Scripture will interpret Scripture. And throughout history, we've seen religious leaders twisting and distorting Scripture to their own destruction. That's what the Apostle Peter said would happen. And so more than ever, we need to make sure we are interpreting the Bible with a literal, grammatical, historical method of interpretation.
Dan,
that's the only way we can be true.
Dan, did you have a follow-up question or comment?
Yeah, I did. I mean, you're speaking as if you think Peter, therefore, is an appropriate person to follow. Upon whose authority do you agree that Peter's the right one? I mean, I do, because I believe the Catholic Church holds the complete essence of truth, but you're quoting out of a Bible that, as if it fell from the sky, like a Muslim would be leaving. You're quoting, and you even called him Saint Peter at one point in your discussion. I mean, sainthood was through a Catholic terminology.
Okay, tell you what, we're up against it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. We got a break. We've got a take, and I'll have Mike respond to that right after the break. Back in 60 seconds. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Recently, an article in Physics World revealed exactly what we've been saying in our series on brainwashed America, that those desiring to brainwash people will use those who are perceived to have credibility. They'll use those with credibility, put them up in front of a group, and use their credibility to brainwash someone into believing that which is not true. Well, recently, as I said, Physics World did an article where a group of evangelicals took a supposed expert scientist on global warming, who claims to be an evangelical, put her up in front of a bunch of Christian university students, largely many of them who did not believe in the myth of man-made global warming. Well, a study showed that simply putting her up as an expert by their conservative, so-called, Christian, so-called, leaders increase their chances of switching their position. They went from being against man-made global warming to for it. It shows you how brainwashing can occur.
Mike Gendron with us today from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. If you missed that special offer that he made, we will be repeating that in this final segment, so be ready to jot down the information. And a quick reminder, all next week, starting July 22 through the 28th, Mike is going to be speaking in a series of meetings, just going from state to state, and you can come hear him in person, being sponsored by VCY America, and that begins Monday in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Monday the 22nd, Tuesday in Stuartville, Minnesota, outside Rochester, Wednesday, Hermantown, Minnesota, that's outside Duluth, Thursday the 25th, Lakeview Bible Church, Crystal Falls, Michigan. Friday the 26th, Trinity Baptist Church, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Saturday the 27th and into the 28th, the Indian Hill Bible Church, Ingleside, Illinois. Check it all out, vcyrally.org, vcyrally.org. Okay, Mike, the caller had mentioned, well, if it weren't for the Catholic Church, you wouldn't have a Bible. By whose authority? And by the way, did you slip up when you called Peter a saint, sainthood coming through the Catholic Church? Your response to our caller there from Chicago.
Well, every born-again Christian is a saint, and all we have to do is read the epistles in the New Testament. You'll see Paul is addressing his epistles to the saints of different churches. So Peter, of course, was born again. He is a saint. And in regards to his question, you know, it's so simple that the Catholic Church did not give us the Bible. God chose 40 men to pen his word as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And so the Catholic Church did not depart from the faith of the apostles until around the 4th century when Constantine started allowing pagans to come in with their pagan traditions, and they departed from the word of God, and that's where they began going into apostasy. And so we have the Word of God because it was given to us by God as He inspired the men to write it. And more than ever, we just would pray our listeners would encourage all of their friends and loved ones to read the Word of God, because the Word of God is the imperishable seed that will bring forth life. Nothing else on this earth will do that other than the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so let's encourage them to do that. And also, to be saved and released from religious captivity and spiritual deception. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, "If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free." So let's encourage people to do that.
So the plain reading of Scripture today, you're going to find many, many contrasts, as you pointed out, with what teaching is coming from the church today, Roman Catholic Church.
So ultimately, they have to make a decision that I made. Am I going to trust Christ and His Word for my salvation, or the teachings and traditions of my religion? It's impossible to believe both. You must make a choice, and hopefully you'll land on Christ and His Word.
Dan is calling from Calumet, Michigan. You're on the air, Dan.
Yeah, hi. I was a brought up Catholic, altar boy, parochial school. Let's see how do I word this. Only child, glad wasn't aborted, put up for adoption.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a question for Dan, for sake of time? Do you have a question for Mike today?
Well, okay, the question, let's see, how do I put it this way? How does one approach a Catholic without being offended and being turned away? Or saying, no, I don't need that, or whatever. What is a good opening way?
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, you approach a Catholic speaking the truth in love, asking questions. How do you hope to get to heaven? And when they give the wrong answer, then you have an opportunity to open the Bible and show them that Christ is the only way, that you're saved by grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, according to the Scripture alone.
Thank you. Using the Scriptures. Don in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, as a former missionary to Roman Catholic France, I appreciate what you said, Mike, about the perfect sacrifice that Jesus Christ performed in Hebrews 10:10 and 10:11, as well as Hebrews chapter 9. I want to tie in that perfect sacrifice with the law of the Lord is perfect. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 7, perfect, perfect sacrifice. So if we look to that sacrifice, we will live. And a Roman Catholic can be saved by reading their own Douay-Rheims Bible. But I would highly recommend the old King James.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate that. Any comment, Mike?
Good point, Don. If you're witnessing to a Catholic, I would encourage you to use their Bible. It's got the same 66 books that the Protestant Bible has, but they're told not to trust anything from the Protestant church. So eliminate that barrier by opening their own Bible and showing them the Scriptures.
Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, it's amazing the credit that people give the Catholic Church for things that they may or may not have done, like compiling and preserving the Bible. They preserved people from reading it, and they don't encourage people to read it to this day. I ran into that at work when I witnessed, you know, I tell people biblical truth. They said, we never heard that. They don't tell us to read it. And if they do read it, they'll find in 1 Corinthians 3:11, that Jesus is, I mean, that Peter is not the rock of the church, Jesus Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
For no other foundation can man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's crystal clear.
Amen. Thank you, Brad. Mike, what about reading the Scriptures? Is it encouraged by the church?
Well, today it is, but albeit through the grid of Roman Catholic tradition, we have to remember that at the Council of Trent, the Counter-Reformation, the Catholic Church put the Bible on the list of forbidden books. If a Catholic had a Bible in their possession, they had to return it to the church before their sins could be forgiven. You ask, why would the Catholic Church do that? Because the truth was setting them free, and they didn't want them to have access to the truth anymore. That's why they put it on the list of forbidden books.
I know we have other callers lined up, and we've run out of time here, friends, but I would like to mention that to get more information on this topic, Mike has taught in a message, Rescuing Catholics from Pope Francis. It is available. There are two messages on this DVD. The second is The Controversial Bread of Life. He's reduced it by 20% for our Crosstalk listeners, and those who do connect with him and request this will also get a copy of the tract, Have You Ever Been Deceived? Go to ProclaimingTheGospel.org, ProclaimingTheGospel.org. Click on Store, then on Video Messages. You'll find it right there at the bottom of the first sheet page. Or you may call right now after the program here at 817-379-5300. You may have more questions we didn't get to. 817-379-5300. Mike, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim. Always a blessing.
Great. And Mike Gendron, don't forget to check out vcyrally.org for that road tour next week, vcyrally.org. Or you can connect with Mike now at 817-379-5300. Let's search the Scriptures. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.